honey in the rock and butter on the biscuits. Come on, somebody. Oh, welcome, man. How about Darren and KG and the band filling in today? Didn't they do a great job? It's exciting to be here. I always love coming, hanging out with you guys on Sunday morning and worship of the Lord and hear the word of God. So we're continuing this week in our series. Our series has been entitled The Bethel Orchard, talking about how you and I are called to produce fruit that glorifies God in our lives. And so as we continue on that, let me just ask you a question as we start out this morning. How many of you know if conditions are perfect, anyone and everyone can produce fruit? If conditions are perfect, if everything is going your way, if there's rain in due season, if the weather is correct, if the temperature is correct, we can all produce fruit when everything is perfect. But the question that we're going to look at and we're going to pose and we're going to look at Scripture today is this: how do we produce fruit in dark times? Because how many of you are like me? You go through some dark times. Come on, somebody. Like, I know we're saved, and I know we're washed in the blood, and I know we're born again, and I know we have a new heart, but I'm just going to tell you, I'm still Cody, and I'm still flesh, and I'm still a man, and I still live in this fallen world, and I still struggle with issues, and there's times that there's dark seasons in my life. Can I hear a good amen? But how do we produce fruit in dark seasons? Because anybody can produce fruit when conditions are perfect, when conditions are just right. Producing fruit in situations where everything is just right, that's average. Look at me. Look. Can I tell you something today? Can I level with you and tell you something? Can I shoot you straight today? Average sucks. Who wants to be average? Who wants to be average? Who wants to be typical? Who wants to be ordinary? Who wants to be common? Who wants to be regular? Can I just tell you this? Screw that. I am not of regular descent, y'all. You are not of regular descent. And you know what? We are children of the Almighty God. We have been purchased by the precious blood of the only begotten Son of God. We are royalty. We are a chosen generation. Our Father is the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. Our brother has defeated death, hell, and the grave. We are overcomers. We are victorious. We are fruit-producing machines that bring glory. Glory to Almighty God because of everything God has done in our life. We are not average. And we got to get over this mentality of I'm average, I'm moderate, I'm just okay. We got to learn to produce fruit when things are good, but we got to learn to produce fruit when things are bad as well. So, okay, how do we produce fruit in tough times and in dark times? And I think we can learn from this guy named Paul. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul's a guy like you and me. Paul is a guy that was living out his desires. Paul is a guy that was doing what his family had always done. Paul is a guy that is living life thinking it is right. He is persecuting the kingdom of God. But he has this encounter with Jesus and it messes everything up. He has this encounter with Christ, and then he begins to preach the gospel. With the same passion that he served the enemy, now he's taking that passion, and he's serving God and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know where it finds him? It finds him in a prison, arrested for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? Do we fathom that Paul is in prison for preaching the gospel, for going to church on Sunday morning, for preaching sermons that glorify God and leading people to Christ? He is arrested and put in prison. Now, you and I got to understand, it's not the American prison that you and I know. He's in a Roman prison. 2,000 and something years ago, he doesn't have a comfort foam mattress that he's sleeping on in a prison cell. He doesn't get three hot meals a day. He doesn't get to smoke cigarettes and go out and shoot baskets with his buddies during the day. Like, he's in a Roman prison, shackled up, chained up, being tortured for preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. How many would agree with me? This is a dark time in Paul's life. But watch how he continues to produce fruit when things aren't going his way. Philippians chapter 1, if you got your Bible, You got your phone, you got your iPad, whatever you want to read the Word of God on Philippians 1. I'm going to read verse 3 through 12. Philippians 1, 3 through 12. Paul is in prison at a dark time in his life, and he's writing a letter to the church. The church in Philippi, the church of Philippians that he loved, the people that he loved. Here's what he says in verse 3. Every time I think about you, I give thanks to my God for you. How many of you thank God for the people in your life? Come on, somebody. How often do you tell the people in your life that you thank God for them? I know they're not perfect. I know they don't get it right. I know they make mistakes. But how often do you tell them, I'm thankful for you? Paul is in prison in a dark time, and he's going, I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for those close to me. In verse 4, he says, whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. I'm full of joy praying for you. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Jesus Christ from the time I first heard until now. Paul said, I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it finally finished on the day when Jesus returns. So it is right, Paul says, that I feel the way I feel about you because you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you, and I long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love would overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters in life, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day Jesus returns. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, challenge us, each one of us, where we are in the season of life that we're in. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. How do we produce fruit in dark times? The first lesson we can learn from the Apostle Paul is this. We must always learn to focus on others and not ourselves. Paul is in prison. How easy would it have been for him to have a pity party? Come on, y'all. How easy would it have been to focus on himself? And my needs are not being met. My emotions are messed up. My hormones are haywire right now. I don't feel good. How easy would it have been for him to focus on himself? But Paul focuses on the church. He says, I'm worried about you guys. Can I just tell you? The enemy so wants you and I to focus on ourselves. The enemy so wants us to make life about me and about what I'm feeling and about what I want and about what I'm not getting. The enemy wants us to focus on ourselves. And if the enemy can get you and I to focus on ourselves, he has about 3/4 of the battle already won. Just some scriptures, some stuff we can learn from Paul. It challenges me, and I pray that it challenges you. Philippians 2:3 says this. Writings of Paul once again. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. Wow, how many of you believe our world would be better if we thought more about the welfare of others than we thought about the welfare of ourselves? 1 Corinthians 10:24. Do not be concerned for your own good, but be concerned with the good of others. Uh-oh, that's what I'm talking about. You my man right there. Watch this. How many know our world is full of disorder and evil? Can we agree on that? Watch what the Word of God says, James 3:6. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, wherever there is selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. One more scripture. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Watch this. Those who refresh others will be refreshed themselves. We have so lived in a world where I need to be refreshed, I need to be fed, I need to be taken care of, I need to be coddled, I need everything that I need. We've made it all about ourselves when the Bible says when you and I learn to refresh others and bless others, then in turn there is a spiritual and a supernatural thing that will take place and we will be refreshed. How many of you know we're missing it in the world we live in? Our world is so filled with selfishness and self-focus. And the result of selfishness and the result of self-focus is this, a depleted harvest of fruit. We're talking about being an orchard. We're talking about producing fruit for the glory of God. And here's what I see from my vantage point in my perspective. We have eaten the fruit of everyone around us. We have eaten the fruit of the previous generation. We have actually eaten the fruit that we have produced ourselves until there is nothing left. This leads to being more depressed, more unhealthy, more empty, less fulfilled, zero peace, and zero joy. Look at the world we live in. Can we deny that? Absolutely not. Rather than focus on negativity, rather than focus on what he didn't get and how he was mistreated, Paul teaches us a lesson and he reminds us that God has started a good work in us. And you know what? Let's continue to focus on God and the plans he has for us and let's focus on others. It's a great lesson. Paul says, I guarantee you, no one or nothing can stop the plans of God as long as we seek and serve God with all of our hearts, as long as we serve him, and as long as we put the focus on other people. I would just challenge you and me, let's be like Paul. Let's don't focus inward, let's focus outward on other people first. The second lesson we can learn from Paul is this. There is importance in connectivity and partnership. How many of you know we are better together than we are by ourselves? Come on, y'all. We're better together. Like some of us feel like Lone Rangers. Some of you feel like Lone Rangers. Your daddy told you you could handle it. Your daddy told you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you can be some rogue and you can be some desperado that rides fences in the cowboy like the song the Eagles sing. You can do it all by yourself. But how many of you know we cannot do it by ourselves. We're better together. And we all need connectivity. We all need partnership. Paul uses words when he's writing to the church of Philippi, he uses words like we're partners, like we're partakers together, like we share these things. We bear the most fruit and we are at our best when we are connected to others. Now, if you say amen to this next statement, you get 10 extra minutes of preaching today. I am not the wisest guy ever. But I am wiser today than I have ever been because of the connections that God has placed in my life. Not because I'm smart, not because I study more, because of the connections I have. How many of y'all remember my friend Mike Harper that preached here for me sometimes? He is the wisest and the smartest and the most intelligent, knowledgeable guy that I know. And just because I am connected to him, he imparts into me. He sows into my life. I am wiser because of my connection with him. There's another guy that I absolutely love, and God, it's just a divine connection. Many of you have suffered with sickness, and you've suffered with illness, and I have a connection with this guy named Dr. Ben Edwards from Lubbock, Texas, who's one of the greatest holistic doctors ever. And you call me and you're struggling with sickness, and because I have a connection to him, I can call him. And we've all been wiser because of my connection with Dr. Edwards. I have a connection with old cowboys in the previous generation, connections with my family, connections with the Assemblies of God. I am wiser and better because of the God-given divine connections that are in my life. We all are better because of our connections, because Proverbs 13:20 says this. Young people, listen to this. Old people, listen to this. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and you will become wise. Associate with fools and you get your butt in trouble. It didn't say butt, but that's what it says. Connections. We're better together than we are by ourselves. Proverbs 17:17 It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is built for adversities. Like, I'm thankful for my family. I am so much better off today because of my family. But you know what? I'm better today because of my brothers in Christ, too. How many of you have brothers or sisters in Christ that, by golly, will fight for you in every situation, in every area of your life? I'm thankful because I have friends that say, you know what, I'm going to fight for you. I'm a brother, and I'm built for adversity. Jennifer's better because she has sisters in the faith that say, we will fight for you. Can I tell you something right quick? I'm a church guy, and you know I'm a church guy. This is why church is so important. Because we need a place to come together and get set on fire for the Lord. And together, all of us will burn much brighter than we will by ourselves. Proverbs 1:33. Let me read this scripture to you. Proverbs 1:33. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. We come from different races. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different denominations. We have different ideas on family. We have different ideas on how to raise our children. But when we come together on Sunday morning, we are coming together under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we unify that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in that unity, God will begin to move like He moves nowhere else in our life. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. It's like the oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountain of Zion. Listen to this. For there, when people gather together in unity, God commands the blessing to happen. God commands the blessing on the gathering of His sons and daughters in church in unity. Can I address a couple of things for y'all? Can I be real with y'all today? Church folk, y'all are scared to say yes, right? Let's talk about church, because I love church. I'm a church guy. Church changed my life. And I'm going to talk to you about two issues when it comes to church. And here's the issues that I've heard over the last 24 years. The first one is this, it's church hurt. It's this big idea that's going around now that I got hurt in church and somebody did me wrong and they hurt my feelings and they didn't come see me and all that stuff. Can I just talk about church hurt? If you got hurt in church, I am so sorry. Seriously, I have compassion and I love you. But guess what? Hurt happens in life. And you know what? Church hurt happens, and it happens in other places than the church. We get hurt at football games. We get hurt at school functions. We get hurt at our job. We get hurt at rodeos. Hurt happens everywhere. Church is just the only place that we can use hurt for an excuse to not come back and gather together in unity. So if you got hurt, I'm sorry. God bless you. Guess what? I've been hurt too. But you know what? My love for God and my love for the church is more important than my little feelings and when I got hurt before. You know what? Put the Lord first and put others first. You need church and I need church. It's a supernatural thing. Can I talk about something else about church? People say, well, I just need community at church. Well, good. So do I. I need community at church, don't we all? But community in church is our personal responsibility and not the church's responsibility to build something for me to have connection and community. How much community do you have with your children's sports teams that you continue to go to every week? How much community do you have with the rodeo culture that you go to every week? How much community do you have at the dance hall? How much community do you have with the people that you work with your extended family? Community is what you and I make of it. And if we want friends and we want community, we have to make it happen and not put the responsibility off on somebody else. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? Can I be real with y'all? If you want community, if you want friends, then quit being a loner. Quit being weird. Quit being awkward. Quit being unfriendly. Quit being so needy. Quit being so demanding. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And quit making it all about everybody else and find some friends. And the Bible says if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Put that on social media. That's what needs to be out there right now. Be authentic, be real, be raw, be vulnerable, love others, serve others, give without expectations. Do that and your community and your relationships will change. Number one, we have got to make our life about others if we want to produce fruit. Number two, if we want community, build community. And can I tell you something right quick? All you need for real community is one other person. Just one person. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst, and that's all we need. And lastly, I'll say this, and this is my favorite one of all. If you want to produce fruit in dark times, check your attitude and check your mindset. Check your attitude and check your mindset. Paul's in prison, and he tells the church, all this stuff that's happening to me, like I'm being arrested, I'm chained up, I'm being beaten at the midnight hour, I'm eating bread and water, and all of those negative things, they're working out for good to the glory of Almighty God. How many of us can say what I'm facing right now and what I'm going through right now doesn't feel good, I don't like, but God is working in the background and he's going to take what the devil meant for evil and he's going to turn it around for good. Paul has a great attitude, man. It's a game changer. He's letting the church know. He's writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, I don't just talk a big talk, and I don't just write big letters to other people. Paul says, I actually mean what I say, because Paul is the author and the guy that wrote Romans 8:28 that you and I quote so many times. And Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purposes. Paul said, it's all working together for good. Can I tell you, it's all working together for good. This journey of life is not a paved road that is paved with pavement and that is straight in there. This life that you and I live, it deals with fallen people. It deals with a fallen world. It deals with broken systems. Your life and your journey of marriage and parenting and following Jesus, it's going to have peaks and it's going to have valleys and it's going to have crooks and it's going to have turns and the sun is going to shine and there's going to be dark moments, but you and I have to have the attitude of Paul and say that all things are working together for good, and when it doesn't feel good and when it's dark, God, I know you're still on the throne. God, I'm going to trust you. We have to have a continued attitude and mindset that brings glory to God and doesn't take us down to the dumps of our life. Attitude and mindset changes things. I know I preach about this mindset thing a lot, but I believe with all of my heart, it's one of the major factors in walking out this Christian life. Our mindset and our attitude is more important than we even understand. How many agree with this statement? When our mind is right, we're at our best. But when our mind is jacked up, we're at our worst. Where our mind and where our attitude goes, everything else follows. When our minds get jacked up, we get sideways. Our demeanor and the look of our countenance changes. Our conversations change. The way we talk changes. Our worldview becomes distorted. Our relationships are strained. Everything goes south when our minds go south. And can I just tell you right quick, I can look at you today and tell if your mind's going south or not. And so can everybody else around you. I love this scripture. Matthew 16. I love this scripture. It's a classic example of when someone's attitude or mindset gets focused on the wrong thing. Matthew 16:21-23. From that time on, Jesus began to tell his disciples. Jesus is telling them, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests, and actually I'm going to be killed. And on the third day I will rise again. And Peter, knuckleheaded, hard-headed, prideful, arrogant Peter, who's always speaking before he thinks, can anybody associate with this guy? Jesus said, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer many things. And Peter, verse 22, and Peter took Jesus aside. Think about this for a moment. Peter took Jesus aside, and he rebuked him. Peter, the cussing, denying, salting tongue, common guy, takes the Son of God, Jesus, aside and rebukes Jesus and says, far be it from you. This is not going to happen. And Peter and Jesus turned to Peter and goes, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but you are setting your mind on the things of man." Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter tries to control Jesus and the plans of God. Peter tries to control everything. Jesus calls him the devil. And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you're getting sideways here, dude, because you're thinking about things according to man, and you're not thinking about things according to God." Jesus is saying to Peter, you need to refocus and get your mind right, because when your mind's messed up, everything is screwed up. I wonder how many of us, let's get real now. I wonder how many of us are telling Jesus, your plans are not good enough and your plans are not going to work. Let me show you the plans that are really going to work in my life, Jesus. I wonder how many of us are like Peter. I wonder how many of us are trying to control everyone and everything in our life. I wonder how many of us are so focused on the things of this world and focused on ourselves that we're missing the things of God. And it's just a shift in attitude and a shift in mindset. We need to be like Peter. We need to be stopped, and we need to renew our minds. Can I tell you what is a game changer for you? Can I tell you what is a game changer for you today? Can I tell you what is a game changer for you and me today? Can I tell you what is a game changer today? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world. This world is full of selfishness. This world is full of pity. This world is full of that you owe this to me. This world, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we will just renew our minds, whatever we're facing, like Paul did, it will be an absolute game changer for you and I. Dayron, bring your skinny jeans on up here, boy. Close us out. How did Paul produce fruit in dark times? How did he? He learned to focus on somebody besides himself. Can I tell you something right quick? A life focused on you, your problems, your struggles, your insecurities, and what you're not getting, that leads to a life of darkness and depression. I don't care what the world tells you. It does. Focus on others. Don't be average. Don't be average. Don't be average. Focus on others. Connect with others. We are better when we connect. When we connect, and then we got to learn to change our mindset and to change our attitudes. If you would, y'all stand on your feet. We'll close with a word of prayer, and then we'll close with some worship tonight, today. Father, we love you. We thank you for everyone that's in this room. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this place called Bethel. This place is not perfect. It's not perfect because it's filled with flawed people. Lord, we all face temptations and we all face struggles and we all stumble sometimes. But today, Lord, I pray you would speak to us in the closing moments of this service. And that for those of us that are facing tough times and darkness right now, that we wouldn't get caught up in the situations, because our situations are temporary, God, you're eternal. Help us not to focus on the things that we see, for the things that we see just last a moment, but the things that we can't see last forever. Help us to focus on you, God. And for those of us who have bought the lie of the enemy and we focused on ourselves and we feel sorry for ourselves, we feel like we've got it worse than everyone else and we're just focused on ourselves and we're not getting what we need. We're not getting what we want. And Lord, help us to make a shift today. Be like Paul. Help us to focus on encouraging others and refreshing others and knowing that when it's a supernatural thing, that when we refresh others, we'll be refreshed ourselves. And then Lord, help us to celebrate the connections that we have in life, the community that we have. It may not always be perfect, not always going to be. Sometimes we'll get our feelings hurt. Sometimes we won't like what the way someone reacts, but it's community and it's relationship. Help us to focus on that and be a part of that and celebrate the connections that we have in life. And then lastly, Lord, help us to have a good attitude. Dear God, help us to have a good attitude. Help us to put on the helmet of salvation to protect our minds, to protect the way that we think about everything. Help us to think like Paul and say this: God, you began a good work in me, and you're going to perform it and carry it out until the day Jesus comes back. Speak to us, Lord, so that we become fruit producers in the perfect seasons, but fruit producers in the dark and painful seasons as well. Challenge us today as we close in worship. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's